change to our hearts. And I thank you, Father, we are people that grab hold of your word, apply it in our life, and we are changers. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So we've been doing a series on Faith It. This is week number 3, and I'm really excited about this morning's message. But before I go any farther, Faith It, what does Faith It mean? It simply means that we walk by faith. Okay, if you're a believer, you are told to walk by faith. And I was, so my name is a little tinny. We get here. Thank you. Okay, so we walk by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So it's by hearing what God said. And if you could read Hebrews chapter 11, it has all these incredible men and women who walked by faith and did great things for God. And the really cool thing is, if you read it, 9 out of 10 of them were regular Joe Schmoes. Okay? But they heard and they walked by faith and did amazing things. And we're going to talk a lot about that. The Bible shows us ways that we can walk it out. So it's one thing to say, hey, you know, you have faith. And I'm like, okay, this is really good. Okay, I have faith, but what can I do with it? So last week we talked about our faith pushes out our enemy. And in case you didn't know, I hate to break the good news to you, but you have an enemy. So our faith can push the enemy, and the other good part about our faith is it can receive promises. And in case you don't know promises, they're all in here, okay? So today we're going to talk about what our faith can do. Our faith can actually obey God. We're going to talk about that. What I mean is, when we accept a promise from God or an instruction from God, we read this and we go, oh, that's an instruction from God. If we accept that, God says he will give you the faith to do it. You can do it. If he gives you the instructions, you can get the faith to do it. So that's what we're going to talk about. But let me ask a question. How many of you have ever heard God speak to you? Not this, whoa, but like in here. How many of you read your Bible? Guess what? Did God speak to you as you read your Bible? All right. So I can't happen to me all the time. Whether it's just what we call the still small voice, or I'm reading something and it jumps off my page, and the Lord says, hey, that's for you. And then I have found that God has given me the faith to do what he said. So how many of you found that God has given you the faith after you read this and you could do it and you did it? Yeah, amen, amen. So that's what we're going to talk more about. But I always like to give you a big idea, a main idea. So if you're taking notes, write this down. If you have your little post-it note, if you want to write it in your cell phone, go ahead. But this is the one thing I want you to understand more clearly than before. And it goes like this. You ready? If God said it, we have the faith to do it. If God said it, we have the faith to do it. So this Bible is full of instructions, okay? And they're not for your granny. They're for you too, okay? This Bible is full of instructions, okay? And there's so many of them, and sometimes I'll read one and I go, oh man, that's a really tough one. But here, this is all you have to do. You read an instruction, and you're like, bleh. All you have to do is say, yes, God, I will. Everybody say that. Yes, God, I will, right? Now, has God ever told you to start a business? Has God ever told you, I want you to go back to college? Or God ever told you to do this with your family or move your family like that? And as you know that you've heard this from God, right? But how many of you found an exact scripture for that? Did God tell you, go to hack in the Bible? I don't have an exact scripture for a lot of the things that, and you don't have a scripture for exact things, okay? But listen to this. If you have heard from heaven, because you get, I call it the green light. And the green light that you know that go do something will line up with principles in the Bible. But when you know you have heard from heaven and you step out, God will give you the faith to do it. God will give you the faith to do it, because if he said it, he will give you the faith to do it. So that's what we're going to talk more about. faith, and I grabbed some books. I have this great book by E.W. Kenyon on faith. And I say this all the time. You know why I like E.W. Kenyon's book? One chapter, 3 pages. So good, all right? And then I just read the whole thing the next day, all right? So I was reading one of his books on faith, and of course I had to jump into Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Hall of Faith. So if you're taking notes, this is your homework this week. Read Hebrews chapter 11. And again, it goes through all these people, ordinary people who God spoke to and they did things, did amazing things. So as you read them, and you'll read about so-and-so and so-and-so, then we'll look at the Old Testament and find out the details of it, okay? But Hebrews chapter 11 about these amazing people that heard and obeyed. They heard from God and they obeyed. They heard and obeyed, okay? And one of them, I just want to start with, is Abraham. Now, God comes to Abraham and he speaks to him. But here's the craziest thing. He's a heathen. He doesn't know God. He never even knew who God was. And God comes and speaks to this guy, who's a heathen, who later on starts the nation of Israel, the Jews, all because God spoke to a heathen. All right? So God speaks to him, and he says, hey, I want you to leave your land, and I want you to go over there. I want you to leave your land, and I want you to go over there. Now, I usually want to go, where is there? And God says, no, it's not. I don't want you to go to California or Alaska. He's not telling any of that, but Hawaii would be good. He just simply says, I want you to leave and go over there. All right? And then when you read Hebrews chapter 11, guess what happened? He did. He just picked up, never knowing where he was going. He didn't have the GPS set to the exact coordinates. God says, I want you to leave, and he did. And he leaves his land, he leaves his nation, he leaves his relatives. He just packs the bags, and they go. Now, to me, that's amazing. Because usually I'm like, I want all the details. All right? I want all the details. I'm kind of like that. A lot of things in my life are, you should know me, all right? But God gives him one word, I want you to go to the unknown, and he does. So what's that have to do with us? Well, there is so much power when you have a word from God. When you have a word from God, when you either read it and it jumped out as an instruction or it's this deep knowing, there is so much power when you have a word from God and he gives you an instruction, right? Now, again, the Bible is full of instructions, okay? Tons of them, okay? And when you get an instruction from God and he asks you to go do this, go over here, go start this, again, he will give you the faith that you can go do this. He will give you the faith, okay? Now, all you have to do when you get that instruction, now, again, it's something you read in your Bible and you see this and then God's just going, hey, I want you to do that. And then, hey, D, I want you to do that. All I have to do is say, yes, God, I will. And at that point, I have jumped out of the boat, and at that point, he will give you the faith to do it. He will give you the strength to do it. All righty? So praise God. Again, I'm talking about Hebrews chapter 11. And I had a direction I was going to go. I was going to go this way. And I got to this guy, Noah. And I started reading about Noah. He's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay? I got to that, and the Lord just kind of said, this is where you got to go. Yeah, but I got a good plan. No, this is where you got to go. So the reason, one of the reasons why God spoke my heart to talk about Noah is I believe there are some of you, not all of you, that 2020 took you off your course. Not point to anybody, okay? But I believe there's a few of you that 2020 knocked you off your course. And if you will listen today, if you will ask God, he wants to pick you up and put you back on course so you can go where he has you to go. And as Brian says, the plans and purposes. So that's one of the reasons, okay? And listen, aside from 2020, I can get knocked off course. Just like by the time 24-hour goes by, right? You know, the Lord's telling me this, or I've read this. I can get knocked off course. So that Jesus talks about for us today. There's details about Noah's life that God wants us to take for today. And you might be surprised, so put your seatbelts on. Here we go. Now, if you're taking those, I have one more thing for you to write down here. Listen to this. Like Noah, one word from God can give us the faith to prepare for a future day we can't see. One word from God can give us the faith that we can prepare for the future that we can't see yet. Right? That is why it is so important just to find out what God says, let him give you the faith. And a lot of times, normally God, go, all right? And you don't see the whole thing, right? So let me tell you a little about Noah, okay? Noah, God comes to Noah, and God says, hey, I'm gonna have it rain, and there's gonna be a flood, and I want you to build a ark. How many of you know the story? How many of you know the song? Right? So God says there's going to be a flood, and I want you to build an ark. But here's some details that the Bible talks about, and even some scientists, ready? It had never rained before that day. It had never rained before that day, right? And so Noah has never seen rain. He doesn't have a dictionary that says this is what rain is, okay? Yet God said, it's going to rain, I'm going to flood the earth, and I want you to build a boat, right? So the Bible also talks about a little bit more background. It says it had never rained before, and there were waters underneath the earth that would rise up, and they would water the trees and the land, okay? That's how it was before the flood. So it was beautiful. How did it get beautiful? There was water, all right? And some, you know, smart aleck scientists come up with this theory that there was a canopy surrounding the earth full of water, all right? So it kind of goes with this thing, all right? But here's the deal. There came a flood, and it had never rained before, all right? So here we go, back to Noah. So God talks to him, and he says, it's going to rain, there's going to be a flood, and I want you to build an ark. And you know what Noah said? Well, you know, God, could you go over this direction one more time? I would have said that, all right? All right? Okay. But Noah obeys God. Noah obeys God because one word from God, God will give you the faith that you can do it. You can obey it, right? So Noah obeys, and I think it's kind of amazing because I would have wanted a few more things. So open up to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, 7. Goes like this. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness is which according to faith. Okay. So all it's saying is, he did this by faith, not knowing where he was going, what it was going to look like. He just did it by faith. He had no idea what the rain was about. So here's some cool facts about Noah. Noah had a family, right? And it says that eight of them, counting him, ended up in the ark, right? But you know, I got thinking, there had been more people who helped him. Because by the way, it took 100 plus years to build this ark. And the ark that he built was 1.5 football fields long and 7 stories high. Okay? And so I believe, let's just go with me with this, that he had his family helping, because you know, we grabbed a family, but I believe he had a crew of helpers. Okay? So that's kind of my tweak little fact here. But the other thing it says, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And you know what that means? Noah, every day, when he went to go to the woods to chop down some wood, when he went to go to the grocery store, when he went just for a walk to get away from everybody, and all the everybodies that he went by and the crew, guess what? They were probably just making fun of him, right? Because this is what he would say. Hey, y'all need to repent because there's going to come a flood and God's going to come and he's going to flood the land. And so for 100 plus years, he has this command, hey, I'm going to going to have a flood, I want you to build an ark. And he's a preacher of righteousness, so everywhere he goes, there's going to rain, I'm going to flood the earth, and you need to be ready, all right? So just think about it. Probably like 10 years into their building the ark, and every day Noah's saying, hey, I'm a preacher of righteousness, you need to get ready. I'm pretty sure they might be making fun of him. Like, oh, there's the rain, man. I don't know what else they would call him, all right? So, but here's the thing. Think about it. He had one word from God, and day in and day out, he's building this ark, okay? And he doesn't know what rain is, and I bet he had a lot of persecution. Right? Yeah, I bet he did. I bet they did a lot of name calling at him, right? But listen, he did it day in and day out for 100+ years. Because he had one word from God, he obeyed him, and God gave him the faith, right? And that is how powerful it is. When you get one word from God, he will give you the faith to go do it. And I just think back on some of the things that the Lord spoke to me, and I'm like, wow, amazing. So, you might be thinking, Pastor D, what does Noah have to do with me? Okay, we got rain now. Maybe not rain then, but we got rain now. Well, listen to this. Raise your hand if you've accepted Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life. Okay. The Bible says if you have accepted him, you have an ark already. His name is Jesus. Right? Okay. Now, the Bible also says, write this down, I'm not going to read it, quote, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. It says, you have not been appointed to wrath, but God is going to take you out of wrath. Right? Okay? So what's this talking about? There is now, and this is here, this is a just open your hearts and listen to this. So God has said you're not going to have wrath, but he has going to take you out of wrath. And there is a judgment day coming. And we don't like to sit around and have lunch. Hey, you know there's a judgment day coming? We don't like to do that, but there's a judgment day coming to the earth. And the thing is, we don't know when. And we can see the seasons. Okay, but we don't know when and the exact day, all right? But listen, when that day comes, when Jesus is coming back, because you've accepted Jesus, you're going up. Or, if you die beforehand, and you've accepted Jesus, you're going to heaven, all right? All right? Because you've accepted Jesus, all right? Now, Jesus is going to connect this, what I just said, with what Noah said. So open up to Matthew 24. This is Jesus speaking. This is the red letter. This is not me talking. This is Jesus. Matthew 24, verse 36. Okay? So Jesus is going to connect these two together. Here we go. But about that day, this is Jesus talking about, and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son of God, but the Father alone. So Jesus is talking about there's a second coming. He's in heaven. He's coming back to the earth the second time, right? And so he said, I don't even know that day. Now you would think, he's Jesus, the Son of God. He should know. You talk about, I got connections. But Jesus says he doesn't even know the day, right? Now, the Bible says, if you can jot this down in James chapter 5, verse 7, it says, the only reason why the Father has not sent Jesus back for the second coming now, or yesterday, let's put it that way, is because he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Guess what that is? He's waiting for people to get saved. He's waiting for us to be harvesters. He's waiting for us to go tell people, and he's waiting. And that is why Jesus can't come back then. Still waiting, right? I don't know if God's got a set number, okay? But he's waiting, all right? And then you know why he's still waiting? Because God loves people. Come on, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that he doesn't want anybody to perish. And so he is waiting for souls to get born again, right? Okay, just imagine, okay? Every day, okay, so Jesus is up in heaven, right? The Bible says, where is he seated? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Here's God the Father, here's Jesus. And just imagine Jesus today, and he goes, Dad, When can I go back? When can I go back? Right? And Dad God, Father God goes, no, you can't go yet. It's not the right time. So the next day comes around, and Jesus is going, Dad, can I go back? And just imagine if the Father God says, Jesus, YCF is not ready yet. They have not won the souls. We are called to take a gospel, tell your story, love people, because Jesus is going to come back. And God wants no empty seats. And I would be so, you can see, So, let me say this. Every prophecy about Jesus some of you go, every prophecy has been completed. The only thing that's stopping Jesus from coming back is the precious fruit of the earth. That's precious. That is the most important precious thing to the Father, and it should be the most precious thing to you. So I want God the Father to look down and say, oh, YCF, man, they have reaped their harvest. Matter of fact, y'all can go help some other people out. Okay? That's what I want. All right? But it's an everyday thing. Amen? All right. So, Matthew 24:36, Jesus says, I don't know the exact time, but I'm coming back. Let's read verse 37. For the coming of the Son of Man, that's how Jesus addressed himself in the Gospels. He called himself the Son of Man, so just hang there. So the coming of the Son of Man, the second coming, will be just like the days of Noah, all right? So Jesus is going to connect this his second coming with the story of Noah, which just went over, right? So if you know, like, what's it going to be like, Jesus, what's it going to be like? We'll read verse 38. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So, God's not saying you can't go eating and drinking and get married. Don't cancel your wedding, all right? Go ahead and do that. But what he's saying is that people are just doing everyday life, just like everyday life, and they were unaware. They were not ready. Okay, and we want to be ready. We want to be ready. Amen. Say, I want to be ready. Verse 39, let's read that. And they did not understand. They were unaware. They did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Alright? And jump down to verse 42. Therefore, be on alert. Everybody say alert. Be on alert. For you don't know which day the Lord is coming. In verse 44, we're going to jump down. For this reason, you must be ready. Everybody say ready.
Ready.
As well, for the Son of Man is coming to... All right, Did you notice those two words? Be alert, be ready. All right. So, I am a believer. You are a believer. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. And he said, hey, you need to be ready for that day. Everybody say, be ready. For that day. Now, Pastor Lee, you know, like, how, it's probably far off. Well, maybe, okay? But you know what it's equivalent to? Listen, it doesn't matter. If I were to die today, because I've received Jesus, I'm going to heaven. When Jesus comes back, I'm going to go to heaven, all right? But listen, when we cross over, okay? When you cross over, whether it's the second coming or you die today, all right? When you cross over, guess what? Everything's already done. You can't go back, oh, I forgot to do this. It's already done when you cross over, okay? So let me read you one more scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 7, I think. 9:27. People die once, and after that, they will be judged, all right? I don't like to talk about being judged, but this is in the Bible, right? And it's just going to help us get to a place where we live ready and we live aware of the precious fruit, right? So this is all about you and I one day are going to stand before, as a Christian, we're going to stand before the Lord. But here's the good news, here's the good news, here's the good news. When we stand before the Lord in judgment, it's not going to determine if you're going to heaven. If you have received Jesus, guess where your forever home is? Heaven. I always crack up when they go, oh, they just want their forever home. I'm like, dear Lord, I hope not. Okay? Your forever home is heaven. It's because you received Jesus. Now, can y'all say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. I have a forever home because I've accepted you. I've accepted the Son as my Savior. Now, if you're a non-Christian, a person has not asked to receive the free gift, okay? That means they are going to stand before the great white throne, and it's found in Revelation 20. Just go look it up today. So a person who has not received, they will stand on the great white throne of judgment, right? And guess what? God's going to go over their whole life, and they're going to find out they can't enter in. They're going to find out that they were not good enough. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, my works will not get me in. It is only through grace, my grace through faith that you are saved. It is only by the blood of Jesus and you receiving that gets you in, right? That's it. That's all the thing, okay? So, I want to ask you a question. All right, here we go. Just think about this. If I told you that Jesus is coming back next Friday at 9 p.m., what would you do? Write it on a calendar. No, 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 listen. If I told you that, and we all knew that next Friday at 9 p.m. Jesus is coming back. If you knew next Friday at 9 p.m. that Jesus is coming back, what would you do? Stop doing. Just write that down. And what would you begin to do? If I told you that I knew, and you now knew, that Jesus is coming back next Friday at 9 o'clock, what would you stop doing and what would you do? Okay, now this is not for me, the believer. It's not about if I'm going to heaven, but I will stand before the Lord. I'm going to give you scripture in a minute, okay? So here's the thing. If there's a whole bunch of things that you should stop doing, and there's a whole bunch of things that you should begin to do, then I'm going to say this. And this is after the Lord's just really... then you're not ready. You're not ready, right? So, listen. But the word we just read in Matthew 24 says, be ready, be alert, because he is coming back, right? So, here's the thing. If you say, God, I'm not ready, and you say, okay, but Lord, I will do the stop and stuff, okay? I will. At that point, that's all you have to do. Yes, Lord, I will. I will stop that. Or I will do this. At that point, you're in. Everybody say, ready. It's the thing of the heart. It's the thing of the heart, okay? Again, once you make that decision, you are ready for him to come back. Amen. Praise God. Now, you might say, Pastor E, can he come back tonight? Nice. Okay. So, I have two dear friends, and they read the obituary. Oh, yeah, you get some age. Okay. I just don't want to put all the time in it, but they always call me up. I have fails, and they'll call, and I ask them to call me up when they see somebody that we know that passed away, or somebody who was a part of our church, their family member passed away, because I want to know, right? So they'll call me up and tell me that. And this has been going on for years, they tell me this. Because one time, like 20 years ago, I didn't read the obituary, and I didn't have a friend, and I did not know. And this person came in, their spouse had passed away, and this person came in and chewed my off, okay? So I decided right then, I need some buddies to keep me up on this stuff. So anyway, but look at my mom. But besides the obituary, you know what really bugs me about this? Is and not just because of COVID or anything like that, but I started, seeing all these young people that are passing away. Yeah, all these young people, okay? And now, when you read an obituary, Most of the time, then I'll tell you why. When I'm a little smarter than a fifth grader, because when I say, please don't give flowers, give to the American Cancer Society, right, figure it out. So mom, but you really don't know why they died. It could have been a disease. It could have been a drug overdose, okay? But here's the thing that's really bugging me. I'm watching 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, and 70-year-olds die. And to me, that's way young. Because I'm 67, I think that's still way young, right? And I'm going, God, that's too safe, way young. So I'm doing that. But here's what my next thought is, and I do this all the time. But God, were they ready? Were they ready? And that's the part that bugs me, it makes my heart hurt, okay? Because guys, once you take your last breath, it's done. You can't change. You can't go back and change. That's what you would do when you're here. Once you take your last breath, it's done. So here's the question. If you knew that Jesus is coming back next Friday at 9 p.m., what would you do differently? What would you stop doing, and what would you begin to do, all right? Okay? Stop. Ready. So, if there's a bunch of things that you would stop doing, and there's a bunch of things that God spoke to you and you begin to do, tell me you're not ready, and we are to be ready. We are to be ready, right? So, think about the question. If you knew that Jesus was coming back next Friday at 9 p.m., okay, we're only 5 p.m., 9 p.m., okay? Praise God. Pastor D, you have not had one joke here today like you usually do. Tell you what, this is serious stuff. This is a search your heart, right? You search your heart because you love people. Search your heart because you love what God loves. So it's time for that dish is out. And believe me, this is going to be for like a whole month, okay? So I really believe that God has been dealing with some of you, not all of you, that He has dealt with you to stop some secret sins, okay? And what you need to do is stop the secret sins. And it's broken again. And listen, it not only does that hurt you, but this is the other part is you're not ready. And God wants you ready. He wants you to cleanse you, keep you squeaky clean, right? So this is one of those, search your heart, Lord, and praise God, just ask Him, all right? And there's other of you, listen, that God has been dealing with you, not just 2020, and some of you, like 10 years, has been dealing with you, and He says, I want you to go in this direction, I want you to start this, I want you to lay this down, I want you to take a step of faith, okay? And you guys keep all the same, not both fingers, right? And what we do is we make excuses, but wait a minute, God's been dealing with your heart, right? So, if you knew that He was coming back Friday night at 7 p.m., not 9 p.m., I'm going to be ready starting at 5. Yes, okay? Would there be a bunch of you that would say, God, I know you've been dealing with me to start a grow group. I'm going to do it. I'm going to call Pastor D, and we're going to get this together. Would you be the one that says, God, you've been dealing with me to jump on a ministry team, and I'm going to be faithful on the ministry team? Or, God, you have been dealing with me to be involved in my community, to be involved in my school, to be involved in my local government, and you are going to do it because He's been dealing with you, all right? Or, so here's my question. What would you do if you knew He was coming back? What would you do, okay? Who would you call? Who would you say, hey, I got to meet you tomorrow or today after church for coffee. I got to meet you because I got to tell you something. Well, you know, who would you call? Who would you invite for church, right? If you don't want to plan for church, we do a good job of this. So, right? Here's another one. Who would you make it right with? Right? Who would you make it right? The Bible says we are to endeavor to live at peace with all people. Some people won't let you, though. Okay? But we try. Okay, so we're going to try, okay? But maybe it's time to sit down and have that conversation with your spouse and say, hey, we got to sit down and talk. I'm going to make this right. Right? So maybe that's it, all right? And listen, for all of you that are married, that woman that God gave you is God's daughter. And you ought to treat them right. And girls, that guy that God gave you, he's the son of the Most High God, and you are to honor and respect. I just thought that up for that end. Okay. Anyway. Anyway, so question, what would you fix, what would you change? Okay? I am not going to give you a list. I'm working on mine, okay? I'm not going to give you a list. You can read your Bible, especially get into Jesus gives out lists, and then so does Paul. I'm not going to give you a list, but I'm telling you what, praise God. I think God will speak to your heart. Praise the Lord. So, again, if God said it, if God gave you an instruction, if God spoke to your heart, then you know that you know that you know He will give you the faith to do it. Praise God. So, here's all I'm saying is, let's live ready. Let's live ready, all right? Okay? Listen, I am Pastor D. I have to work on this all the time. So I get up every morning. I do this before I go to bed, but really in the morning I stand up and I go, God, search my heart. If there's anything I have messed up that I need to ask for forgiveness, Father God, I ask for forgiveness, and Father, I forgive all those other people too, okay? Because there's always something we can work on, all right? And just come on, okay? But I just want to live a holy and pure and be ready, all right? So let me give you our last scriptures, okay? We'll open up 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 5:11. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 11. Now, sit tight. These are good ones to take notes on and jot down. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:10 goes like this. Oops, turn the page. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we, the Christian, raise your hand. If you've received Jesus, He's talking to you and me. For we must all be appeared before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, see that word judgment? If you look it up in the Greek, it means bema. And the Bible talks about that word. They use that word back in Bible days. They would have this platform. And then they put a chair here. This platform, and they put a chair here, and then the official would sit on it. Back in the beginning of the Greek Olympics, that's the platform you go up and you receive your rewards, okay? So that's judgment seat right here. So it's the place you receive rewards. Praise God. So let's read it again. For me, D, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive compensation. I like that. That means rewards. Are we saying rewards? I like rewards, okay? If you don't like yours, give me mine. Just give it to me, okay? Right? So that each one might receive compensation for his deeds done through the body in accordance to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay, what it's talking about is you living for God. The good works that you do. It's not salvation. It's talking about how, yet after salvation, you are to do good works. You are to live for him, all right? So, I someday will stand on the bema seat, okay? The judgment seat before Christ, all right? And I get no special privileges because I'm so cute. None. And I get none, okay? Now, and I won't be able to say, you know, Jack made me do that. I might try, but it's not going to work, all right? And you know, people here, they love to just, nice word, jiving, okay? And sometimes I don't know people are jiving and lying to me. God will know. God knows, all right? So someday, me has to stand on this all by myself. And someday, you will stand there all by yourself, all right? And the Lord, and you can't say, you know, Lord, I would have done that, but Jack wouldn't let me. Okay? Or I would have lived for you, but, you know, Sherry just got me all over the place here, okay? Or I would have done this. Oh, God, you know, I was thinking about doing it, but you know, my life, I was busy. Okay? You can try saying that, okay? And then I can say, but someday, I am going to answer to the Lord. Okay? I want to live ready, right? So, that is why Jesus said, live like Noah's day. Be ready. That's all I'm going to say. Let me read the last verse. Here we go. Verse 11, 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we say persuade people. Right? Anytime a sentence starts with the word therefore, it's there for you because of what was said the verse before. And what was said the verse before is that you are going to stand in judgment before the Lord. Okay? That's what's going to happen, right? right? And so that's what's going to happen. Someday, either the second coming, after the second coming, or I die ahead of time, okay, we're all going to stand before the Lord for judgment, right? But let me talk about the fear of the Lord here, and then we'll just close in a minute. So the fear of the Lord, you know, when I first got saved, which you need to know is I came out of the Catholic faith, which I was very grateful because they taught me there was God, okay? But I also grew up, went to parochial school, Catholic school, and the nuns back then still wore the black, they called the habits, the whole things, okay? Now, as a little kid, I think that's scary, okay? But, so I was a little scared by these nuns, and I kind of associated the nuns because if you were misbehaving at church, they'd just come up and smack the back of your head, okay? And it was so crazy because they would sit our whole class together when we'd go to Mass, and my kindergarten class was 52 kids. Bumper to bumper this, okay? But man, we had a nun. Nobody misbehaved. I'm telling you, okay? So I had this concept of the fear of the Lord. And it took me a while to realize that's not God. Like, if you mess up, you're going to hell. That's not God. That's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a good thing, okay? It's an awe, all right? It's an awe. It's also, I know that I have an authority that I will answer to. That's a good fear. So I'm going to live and be ready. I'm going to live and be ready. So, again, I'm not saying that you're all terrible people. Don't take that. I'm not saying that. But come on, we can all be better. Hang out with me one day. You probably tell me a few things I can do better. Okay? But just the thought to know that Jesus is going to come back someday, I want to be ready. I want to do, I want to go, I want to hear and do all the things he's speaking to me. And you know, some of them you think, well, they're big things. This summer, in August 30th, I will move into my new place, my new townhouse, and on the first day, the Lord spoke to me about something. And I haven't known. And as I was preparing for this, the Lord says, I spoke to you. There's this cute little old lady next door, her name is Mary, and I told you to go talk to her. And I said, well, I did! He says, not hi. He says, I want you to talk to her. Right? So there's things I can do. Are there things that you can do? Sure. But again, I'm not going to give you a list, okay? Praise the Lord. All right? I believe God's big enough to talk to you. All right? And I want to stand up there and say, I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want him to say, I see the fruit. See the fruit. Praise God. Amen. So let's pray. I'm going to take an advantage of this moment, by the way, all right? So we're going to pray. Ready? Just close your eyes. Father, I did my best to share this message that you would not let me let go. Father, I thank you for all the incredible people in this house. Or they came to church today. That's because they obeyed one of your instructions. And Lord, there's some that are listening online. And Lord, that's incredible. So I thank you for all the incredible people here today. Father, I thank you that you have opened up our hearts. And Father, I see us keeping our hearts open to examine our hearts, because we know you're coming back someday. And what would we do? So right now, listen, I know there's a few men here that God has dealt with you about things to stop. Right now, all you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I will. And I'm telling them, he will give you the faith. And I know there's people here that God's been dealing with you, about things he wants you to do for his kingdom, right? Like talk to the lady next door, right? Or whatever, okay? And all you need to do is say, yes, Lord, I will. And I'm telling him, sometimes the things he's asked us to do seem so impossible, so ridiculous. live ready. No guilt, no fear, none of that goofy stuff. Lord, just say, this is the day you've made, and I will live ready. I will have my eyes open, my ears open, to be, to do, to go, to say, whatever you want.
Okay, good.